Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, colleague at MRM. And for the past several days, Eric, we have been discussing the gold plates issue. And as we've been mentioning every day, this is a very important aspect of Mormon history, because if Joseph Smith really did not have gold plates, which contained an ancient record, then it casts a huge doubt on the book that supposedly came from those plates, namely being the Book of Mormon.
Well, Bill, you've been saying then that they are solid gold, and if that was true with the dimensions of the Book of Mormon plates, that would be about 200 pounds. I want to know, do the LDS leaders today say that these plates not only are made of gold, do they admit that these plates would have been 200 pounds?
Well, that's a good question, but I think we should clarify something for the listeners, because it's really not me saying that. This is what Mormons have said. This is what Lucy Mack Smith said in a letter that she wrote to Mary Pierce back in 1829. David Whitmer also said that the plates were made of pure gold. The LDS Church News back in 1999, May 15th, page 16, also said that the plates were solid gold. Now, as we did mention yesterday, they have changed that Church News article now. They don't no longer on the electronic version say that it was made of solid gold, but if they go to our website and read the article that we have on this subject, I actually have a photograph of the printed page where you can see where it does say that the plates were made of solid gold. Go ahead.
Bill, they had a few years ago, they had a display in the at the church, and they allowed people to heft these plates themselves. They must not be that scared if they were as heavy as you're saying they are.
They did. They started doing this around the time of General Conference. You could go across the street to the History Museum, and they had on display a set of plates that you could lift up with a like handlebars, you know, just kind of lift them up a few inches. And I missed the display during General Conference, so I actually went down at one point, and I went up to the counter, and I asked them about this, and the lady was very nice and said, oh, yes, we do have that, but I don't know where they've kept them. So she ended up getting a very nice gentleman to help me, and we actually went downstairs. We went through these closed doors that I've never been through before, kind of into the belly of the beast of the historical museum there, and he opens up this closet door, and there was the display. And the same display that I had seen pictures of. Now, here's what's interesting, though. The plates that they were allowing visitors to pick up or to heft with these little handlebars weren't all metal. And I thought that was awfully odd. In fact, there was only about, and I took a close-up picture of it, and there were only about 40, 46, 47 plates made of metal. The rest of the display was made out of what looked like a chunk of plaster. Now, I touched this plaster, and I kind of tried to lift it by itself, and it was heavier than what I thought plaster should weigh. So it must have been plaster wrapped around some kind of brick or some sort to give it a little bit more weight. But when I asked the gentleman, who was nice enough to show me this display, I asked him, how heavy is this display? He said 50 pounds. He said 50 pounds. How did they come up with that number? I think that's a fair question. Because why would they have to go from plates, if made of gold, weighing 200 pounds, all the way down to 50 pounds?
So they're allowing people to pick them up, making it feel like, oh, these aren't so bad, 50
pounds.
Not
so bad. It still would be, I think, much heavier than most people think.
Was there anything about the 3 miles that he ran through the woods?
Other than he's doing it in the dark, and he's running away from attackers, and he's doing all this with a slight limp. Remember, Joseph Smith had surgery on his leg when he was a young boy, and the accounts tell us that he walked with a slight limp for the rest of his life. So he's doing a lot of these hurdles, if you will, and running, and he sprints, carrying this weight under his arm, and he's doing it with a slight limp. And we have to assume, I guess, Mormons nowadays want us to assume that when Smith gets in a scuffle with these people trying to steal the plates from him, that he must be knocking them unconscious. Do you know how hard that is to do in a fist fight, to knock somebody unconscious? And I've had people say, well, maybe he used the plates and he hit them with the plates. Ain't happening, Eric. It's just not happening. You cannot lift that kind of a heavy weight like that.
What would happen to the plates if he did?
Well, if he dropped them, the plates would be ruined because they are made of a super soft metal. Gold is very soft. And if that's what they were made of, if that's what they want us to believe, then they need to explain that as well. Let me read you something from a Mormon apostle named John Witzo. He and Franklin S. Richards put together this little pamphlet, this little booklet, called Seven Claims of the Book of Mormon. And on page 37, this is what it says. Now, this is a lengthy quote, but I think it's important because it shows us how when Mormon leaders start thinking this story through, they have to start revising the story to make it more palatable. This is what Witzo and Harris wrote. The plates upon which the Book of Mormon was engraved were made of gold. The plates upon which the Book of Mormon was engraved were made of gold and have been described as being about 6 inches wide, 8 inches long, and 6 inches thick. A cube of solid gold of that size, if the gold were pure, would weigh 200 pounds, which would be a heavy weight for a man to carry. So here we have Witzo admitting, if the plates were made of gold, the size Joseph Smith gives us, the plates would have weighed 200 pounds. But he also admits that this would be a heavy weight for a man to carry, even though he were of the athletic type of Joseph Smith, he said. This has been urged as an evidence against the truth of the Book of Mormon, since it is known that on several occasions the prophet carried the plates in his arms. So he's saying not only did he carry them home the distance of the 3 miles and fight off all these attackers, he was known to carry the plates with him on other occasions. Probably, we have to assume, without any real hardship of doing that. Otherwise, why would he be doing that at all? But he says he would carry the plates under his arms. It is very unlikely, however, that the plates were made of pure gold. Now see, why is it most laypersons don't know this? At least the ones I'm asking, and I've asked this question of hundreds of Latter-day Saints, they all tend to believe that the plates were actually made of gold. He goes on to say, they would have been too soft and in danger of destruction of distortion. And that's a fair question. Okay, Joseph Smith is getting into scuffles on 3 different occasions on the way home. What are the plates doing during this time?
Well, maybe he laid them down on the log before he got in the battle.
That was one argument that Michael DeGroote came up with in his Mormon Times article when he tries to explain this story away. And okay, that maybe he did at one point, although it sounds like at least the first time he was surprised by the fact that he was hit by a man with the blow of a gun, okay? What is he doing with the plates then? Is he still be able to hold it up, hold them up and maintain his balance?
Well, that doesn't make any sense, Bill, because even football players, when they're hit from behind and they're not expecting it, most often will lose a 2-pound football.
Yeah, but yet we're sticking to the story as they've told it. So as we go on with this, we have to ask the question: okay, if he dropped the plates, what would have happened to them? My plates made of steel, sheet metal. Even if you were to drop them, as strong as steel is, on a corner, they would basically be ruined. If there was any engravings near the edges, they would have been destroyed. Plus, the pages would have crumpled up to the point where it would have been very difficult to even turn the pages. Can you imagine with a soft metal like gold? That makes it even worse. I asked Mormons, well, where are the plates during these scuffles? Did he go, well, excuse me, let me put my plates down so that we can get into a fight here? No, I doubt it, you know. Now, remember, the people wanting to steal the plates, I don't get the impression they're trying to steal them because of the literary value of the plates. They want it because of the metal. They want it because of the metal. So I don't think they would care if the plates were to fall on the ground, but Smith does. So what happens with these? We don't know. He goes on. This is John Witzo and Franklin Harris, again, in the Seven Claims of the Book of Mormon, page 37. For the purpose of record keeping, plates made of gold mixed with a certain amount of copper would be better, for such plates would be firmer, more durable, and generally more suitable for the work in hand. If the plates were made of 8-karat gold, which is gold frequently used in present-day jewelry, and allowing a 10% space between the leaves, the total weight of the plates would not be above 117 pounds, a weight easily carried by a man as strong as was Joseph Smith.
If I'm a Mormon, I say, see, there you go. It's not even 200 pounds, Bill.
Well, here again, though, we have tested this. We've done this scientifically. And what is science, Eric? Science must be what? Observable and repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done is when I went down back in 2007, I took Sandra Tanner's plates from her bookstore
made
that she's
of...
had on display, made of lead.
Okay.
And her plates are 118 pounds, 1 pound more than what John Witzow said the plates would have been weighed had they had a 10% air gap in between the plates, and they were made of an alloy of copper and gold. And yet, what was the result when I took it down to Manti? If the people could pick it up, and many of them did, they could pick it up, but they often admitted to me that there's no way that they could carry these for any considerable distance, certainly could not run with them, could not jump over a log with them, or run at the top of their speed away from attackers with them. In other words, they could not repeat the story. And that's what the science project was all about. They couldn't be able to do that. So now we find here is a Mormon leader who is recognizing that the plates are not made of solid gold or pure gold, even though that's what David Whitmer said or Lucy Mack Smith said. They're realizing they've got a problem with the story, so now they have to change the story in a way to make it more believable. This is where the Tumbaga issue comes up. Now, I don't have time today to talk about the Tumbaga issue, but it's something that we need to talk about tomorrow, because this is an argument that I hear oftentimes coming from Mormon apologists and Mormon publications, where they are trying to say, well, maybe the plates weren't really made of solid gold, but there's a good chance they could have been made of this Central American alloy called Tumbaga. Does that story really work as well? Or do we have to embellish that story also to try and make it more plausible? So tomorrow we're going to be looking at the gold plates, but we're going to be looking at it more in light of this theory that was generated through a man by the name of Reed Putnam, a Mormon metallurgist, and this is what's known as the Tumbaga theory. So we'll hope that you will join us tomorrow as we continue our examination of the gold plates.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.